Potential, Not Pathology, embracing creative and resourceful approaches to psychotherapy with author and therapist, Dr. Paul J. Leslie.
Welcome to Potential, Not Pathology, where we offer information and inspiration for mental health therapists who are interested in learning and applying unique therapeutic techniques and concepts into their work. With a focus on the potential each client brings to his or her therapy session, this program examines ideas and tools which can assist your clients on their journey toward healing. I'm Paul J. Leslie, and I'm thankful that you're with me today. Wanted to spend a little time today talking about something that I think is very important in therapy, and that is the future. And what I mean by that is a lot of times we as therapists get caught up in the past, the present, and we forget to focus on the future for our clients and ourselves. One of my mentors made a comment one time about there being three waves in psychotherapy as far as time orientation. He said the first wave was past-oriented therapy. And by that, he meant the focus was on what's happened in the past of the client. So if you think back to the early days of psychoanalysis and later developments in psychodynamic theory, and you know, a lot of these past-oriented therapies would spend the majority of their time focusing on what it is that brought you into therapy, you know, things that happened in your past, going back to your childhood, spending a lot of time doing psychological archaeology, digging, in the hopes that when you understood your past, when you had an insight about your past, then you could begin to feel cured. That's the only way I could think about it. You would be cured then because you understood why you were doing the things you were doing now. And they would hope sometimes to have a cathartic release of emotion tied to things in the past, which would free up, you know, psychic energy to intrapsychic energy to move forward into, you know, the future. But the focus was generally on the past. So, you know, what's happened to the past is what we need to explore in therapy. Now, in the 60s and 70s and that time period, we had a shift to where we started getting a lot more knowledge about therapies that focused more on the present. And what we mean by present-oriented therapy was a therapy that everything is about what you're thinking, feeling, being right now. Right in the here and now. Now, instantly I think of Gestalt therapy, which is a great form of psychotherapy, and a lot of the personal awareness therapies. So we're not going to consider what's going on in the past. We're not going to think about the future. What are you feeling right now? What are you thinking right now? What are you doing right now in this moment? That's all we're going to care about is what's happening in this moment. Now, this was a big shift. If we put this into a, you know, the proper perspective, this is a big shift to, well, all we're going to talk about is what happened when you were a child or what happened in the past, and hope you can kind of have some insight about that. Well, what we find with the present-oriented therapies is we're not going to consider much of that. We're going to really focus on what you're dealing with in this moment. What are you feeling? Now, there's a lot of real positive things to this, and we saw that the psychoanalytic ideas kind of took a back seat for a little while. I found that the present-centered therapies had a good bit to offer people and still, you know, recommend a lot of their ideas and concepts. I've seen recently there's a big shift in the return to present-centered therapy in the role of mindfulness. Now, mindfulness, I call it the mindful explosion because it just seems mindfulness has crept in to modern therapy. So now, thanks to great therapies like dialectical behavior therapy, the influence of Buddhist psychology, we're seeing a lot of therapists adopt mindfulness as part of their therapy practice. And I encourage that. That's a really great training tool, not just for your clients, but for yourself. Spend 10, 20 minutes a day being mindful, using mindfulness exercises can lead to a lot of great self-discovery. However, just dealing with the present is kind of limiting, in my opinion, because it doesn't really move your client forward. And that's what I believe a big chunk of therapy needs to be, is about moving the clients forward into the future. I find that a lot of times clients can't see too far into the future. I mean, they get these mental, emotional blocks, and it limits their ability to project themselves forward. Now, we can have great therapy goals, future therapy goals. So by the end of therapy, whether 3 months, 6 months, a year, you will have seen a 50% reduction in anxiety and depression or whatever. But I'm talking about really future, like the rest of a person's life. In my opinion, future-oriented aspects of therapy need to be inspirational. We need to get our clients inspired about their future. If we're just setting short-term goals of a couple of years, I think a lot of times we're missing, long-term vision. Because when people have a long-term vision for their lives that inspires them, that gives them tremendous resources. Now, everybody's future goal is going to be a little bit different because everybody is going to be different. Every person's a unique entity. We've already had this discussion in, I think, every podcast we've had so far. But we need to really think about, what does this person want, not just in the here and now, not just, about things about their past, but what do they want in their future, their long-term future? And is this a future that is inspiring to them? A lot of therapists try to motivate their clients to make changes that are kind of short-term. And sometimes we have to motivate. Now, let me just stop for a second and give you kind of a difference, in my opinion, between inspiration and motivation. I don't know where I read this a while back, but I really liked it. It said, motivation is someone on the outside of you coming in to push you to do things that down deep you really don't want to do. So somebody has to come in and push you to do things you don't want to do. It's not high on your priority list. So they come in to try and convince you and push you that it should be higher on your priority list. And that's, the role of a lot of the motivational self-help books that inspire people to change their lives. But a lot of people only motivates them in the short term. Motivational speakers. I mean, I think they're great. I've seen many that I thought were wonderful, but they're trying to motivate you to see things, do things that maybe don't quite align to your highest priorities. Now, that's different when you're trying to inspire your client to create a sense of inspiration within him or her. When we try to motivate them to do things, that's a short term. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. For example, if they're doing a certain pattern and we need to adjust the system of interaction, we may have to motivate them to make short-term changes to break up these patterns of limitations and dysfunction and create new patterns which kind of push them to operate in ways that are more beneficial for themselves. At the same time, when we're planning out our sessions, we need to leave a little room for finding those resources. A lot of times, those resources the clients really inspired about, but they might not believe that they can get them. Here's what I mean. Motivation, as I mentioned, is someone coming in trying to get you to do things that maybe you don't want to do down deep. Inspiration is doing things that nobody has to motivate you to do. They're already in your highest priorities in life. Nobody has to come and get you out of bed and force you at a certain time to go do certain things if you're inspired to do them. No one has to tell me, hey, Paul, it's time to go teach an enthusiastic crowd about psychotherapy teach a hypnosis certification series or to, talk to people in your field who really, have inspired you. No one has to you know, get me out of bed to do that. I am ready to go. There's no hesitation on my part. My former wife, I think it was shoes, buying shoes, she didn't need to be motivated to buy shoes. She was inspired, and she always found energy to do that. No one had to tell her to do that. What I mean, I'm being a little playful here, but what I mean is that if we spend time really asking our clients, what inspires you? What is it that you've always wanted to do? If you're completely honest with me now, what is it that you really want to do for the rest of your life? Now, a lot of times you'll get the, I don't know, from the client. I don't know, because they can't see a future. They can't see a future. And if they do see a future, it's with the mundane things they're probably dealing with now. So if you ask them, you know, hey, listen, what did you really want to do? I mean, it's just between you and me. It's confidential. What is it that you really want to do? They still may hem and haw and go, I don't know, man. You know, because basically what they're hearing are the outside voices of judgment from others, from society, from culture that tell us, oh, you can't do those kind of things. You can't be those kind of things. You can't have those kind of things. So we need to, you know, really help our client open up to the inspiration that they already have inside them. People have all the resources they need inside them. So go, okay, listen, I mean, yeah, but if, you know, money wasn't an object and you didn't have to take care of your family and you didn't have all these other things, what is it you'd like to do? When you give them permission to really go inside and find what's really inspiring, they come out instantly with what they've always wanted to do, be, have. And they may think it's absolutely crazy, but in my opinion, in my experience, 9 out of 10 times, it is so doable. It is so doable. They just haven't given themselves permission to dream, permission to create their dreams, permission to go after their dreams. Because when you're lined up with what inspires you in the future, suddenly you get lots of energy. Now think about this for a second. Just even in our own lives, when we're feeling run down, we're feeling tired, there's different types of tired. There's the tired from when we're just, you know, physically have done a whole lot and we need to rest. But then there's the mental tired. It's the kind of tired that when we are doing a lot of things that just don't inspire us, we get run down. If we're doing the daily grind at work, we're living in a cubicle, you know, all the time at work, and it's not what really we think we're here to do, but we don't feel we have any choice. There's a set of conditions that create this feeling of fatigue that is mental, emotional, and dare I say, down at the soul level. And it just lets you know you're out of sync with what inspires you. When you're really inspired by what you do, it's amazing the amount of energy that you can access. Look at where you're most energetic. Look at where you're having the most enjoyable connections. That's where you're inspired. Again, if I'm in front of a good group of people who really want to know what I'm talking about psychotherapy-wise, clinical hypnosis, you know, those kind of things, I can literally talk for hours and be so energized at the end of that time that I probably could go on for days. But if I have to have a job where I go in, I don't talk to anybody, and I just sit at my desk and go through pointless emails and do all these different kind of pointless activities, and I don't feel any meaning to what I'm doing, there's a fatigue that sets in that's just unreal. I've actually been there. It's unreal. So don't our clients need access to those resources of energy, that inspiration? So ask them, what do you want to do? What is it you've always dreamed of doing? So after therapy's done, what kind of things would really excite you? That's one thing I like about the virtual solution-oriented therapy, is that once this problem is over, how will your life look different? You know, asking the client that kind of question puts their brain already going into the future where, you know, there's more possibilities, there's more options rather than the here and now, and certainly more than the past. I'll give you an example. I once worked with this lady who was having a lot of depression issues. And she had grown up in a household where mom and dad were narcissistic, self-centered people who were emotionally abusive. You know, great recipe to install a little depression down the road if you're their children. And she had a lot of, you know, dark times. And now here she was in her early 40s, and she was doing that daily grind and feeling really depressed. And after we talked for a session about, you know, getting to know one another and about why she was feeling depressed, which she couldn't really give me a clear answer about that, I asked her what it is that she enjoyed doing. And she said that when she was young, she loved to dance. Dancing was a really important thing for her because it got her really into her body. And she enjoyed being in her body, and music and movement was just so wonderful. She said she lost her taste for it as she grew up because it became very competitive. And because it was competitive, it was more stressful. And then people were more judgmental. And then by the time she became a young adult, she moved far away from it. And here she is at 40, and she still dreamed of dancing and, you know, gave me, well, but I can dance, you know, on my own in my house, but I'm just not, you know, in the shape, or, you know, I'm old in her mind to dance again. So I said, okay, what else are you interested in? And she told me she loved to travel. She was a big thing about traveling. Wanted to go to as many different countries as she could. Felt a little stuck because, you know, that takes money and time and all of that. So something popped in my head. You ever get one of those moments where your unconscious mind goes, this is very important? And I had one of those. And I asked her, I said, have you ever thought about, not now, but down the road in the future, starting a specialized tour company that goes all over the world and takes people who are interested in dancing to different cultures, to where you get to learn authentic differences in cultural dancing? Now, there was a pause that I swear was almost a minute to 2 minutes. And her eyes, you know, were just kind of set. It's almost like she went into a trance because she was just, it hit her like a ton of bricks. She was inside herself. And then she came back, looked right at me with a little bit of water in the eyes. And she says, my God, I'd love to do that. And then a second after she said it, I could tell all the inspiration was draining away because she didn't think she could. So that gave me all the information I needed to know about how to help this woman. I didn't need to spend too much time in her past. I didn't need to spend too much time in her present. I need to get her oriented to the future. She liked the idea. It connected with her. So we spent the next couple of sessions going over how to start, where to start, where to create something like a tour company that will take people, you know, to Spain if you wanted to learn flamenco, to Peru if you wanted to learn South American dance, to Russia if you wanted to learn Russian folk dancing, all these kind of things that she knew there were people out there that wanted to do it. And generally people who want to do those kind of things are willing to pay to do it. So she could make a wonderful living doing something she loved, connecting back with her body, meeting these amazing dance teachers, meeting people who inspired her, and she could inspire others. So yeah, we use some good old cognitive behavioral therapy. But it wasn't for things in the past. It wasn't for things in the present. It was her future goals, to her ideas about how things, you know, might not work out and her limitations. And so we used a little bit of that cognitive therapy to knock through some of those beliefs she had that was blocking her compelling future, because she then became inspired. And as more she focused on that future goal of creating this dance company, the more her energy kicked in, the more her depression decreased, the more she found access to resources that she might never have found if all we did was stay in the past and stay in the present. So by just thinking about what she wanted to do and have and be in the future, she was able to shift her thinking, shift her unconscious toward things that she could have. And it was amazing what a transformation happened in her pretty quickly. Now, one thing I found too is particularly when you're working with people who have addiction issues, having a future focus is absolutely crucial, because a lot of times people don't feel they have a future when they're wrestling with addiction, because it's just the right now, the impulsive kind of nature. If you think about it, when you go to the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, those first two levels, you know, survival and security, those are kind of things that everyone needs to build upon. But when we're stuck down there, we go into this mindset as if we're prey. We're not predators, we're prey. We're desperately trying to find our food, water, and we're desperately trying to protect them and protect ourselves. And when you're in that prey mindset, you become totally cut off from any future. If I don't know whether I'm going to make it from moment to moment, I'm not thinking about a long-term compelling future. If all I am about is getting my needs met in this moment, I'm not going to think about starting a dance company 5 years down the road and traveling the world and meeting famous dance teachers. I can't do that. Now, with people with a lot of addictions, their mind, their brain, the brain connection with the body, all of this is set at those lower stages of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. They need the drug right now. If anything comes up that gives them depression, anxiety, their coping mechanism is to immediately go to the drug, the alcohol, because they don't have as much of a future focus. Oftentimes when I ask people who are, you know, trying to recover from addiction about the future, they don't have any clear goals about the future, because most of their life, most of their time is set, you know, right now. I got to have it right now. It's, you know, I'm feeling this right now. So if we can begin to help those people begin to create a compelling future, to give them a long-term goal, this helps with their recovery. I mean, I'll give you another example. I had last week had a really nice gentleman who had been struggling with alcohol addiction. He even went to a treatment program. And he had a good job. Job allowed him to go to the program and come back. And he was doing well at it. He hated the job, but he was doing well at it. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, what's your goals, your life goals for, you know, 4 to 5 years? He had none. He had no goals past the next 2 weeks when the paycheck came in. Now, let's think about that for a second. If you have no goals beyond the next 2 weeks when you get a paycheck, how much more inclined are you to just revert back to the behavior that creates such havoc in your life of drugs and alcohol? I don't know about you, but I would certainly feel a lot more open to doing those kind of things if I didn't see a compelling future for myself. If my future orientation wasn't there, it's hard to be inspired. So I asked him, I said, okay, well, let's design something. I mean, what do you want? And of course, you know, people tell you what they don't want. And after you get them past that, and then they get really shy because they don't think they can have it, and you get them past that, then you get the real story. And the real story for this guy is that he wanted to work in the medical field. He didn't want to be a doctor. He wanted to work like radiology and things like that. Well, I said, well, what do we need to do to get there? He said, well, I guess I need to go back to college. So we sat down and we planned out, okay, how long would the college take? Where would you want to go to college? What's your first step in going to college? After you get this job, where do you want to work? Did you want to stay here, or do you want to go to a different town? Because that kind of work, you can move around. What kind of goals do you have financially tied into this radiology? I saw a different person emerge. This person no longer had the only label in his mind of recovering alcoholic. We accessed a resource that he, down deep, never allowed himself to think he could have. I don't know where he got these limitations in his mind that he couldn't have it, but he had them. It really doesn't matter. It's about moving forward. So now, not only is he having regular therapy, going to his AA meetings, but now he has a compelling future that can assist him, because instead of a 2 week and then there's the paycheck, now we got a 5 year, 10 year, 20 year plan. How far in the future do you want to go? People who plan way far in the future tend to have more exciting lives, compelling lives, inspirational lives. So as we're creating futures for our clients, maybe we need to also do a little self-therapy. What do we want for ourselves in the future? I can't tell you how many therapists I've met who don't have any long-term goals, or their long-term goals are some gray area that's, and then I'll retire. Which, by the way, if retirement is really exciting to you, let me ask you, what is it about retirement that's exciting to you? I know a lady who said, I can't wait to retire because then I get to ride horses more often. Well, why can't you do more of that now? And she was a therapist, and yeah, just every now and then I get to ride. I said, well, why don't you, get involved with equine therapy? This equestrian approaches to therapy. I mean, I think that's an amazing field. Why not do that so you can ride horses, you can interact with horses, and be inspired in your work instead of just, going along doing things you feel you don't want to do. So what are your personal goals as a therapist? Are they inspirational to you? Do you have a long-term vision for your professional life as well as your personal life? If your primary goal is, how do I get through to Fridays, and then I got to write all my case notes, and that's the biggest goal you have for your career, it's no wonder you may be feeling burned out. The long-term future orientation that you have in your career about being a therapist to building on that is crucial. It's absolutely crucial to staying energetic because, I mean, listen, our field is so full of burnout. Our clients come to us with all this kind of burnout stuff. And if we don't help them find compelling futures, they're going to stay burned out. The same for us. We've got to have a compelling future. We've got to take that orientation toward now and really move it forward to things that inspire us, not motivate us. We don't need somebody to come and push us. We need to allow ourselves to be truly inspired. So what inspires you? What inspires me is what I'm doing right now, in case you haven't noticed. I love sharing this kind of information and interacting and learning myself. I love speaking. I love teaching. I love writing books, to me, that's how I make the world a better place. That's my contribution. Now, this may change. I may, 10 years from now, have a totally different future goal, but I foresee me doing more of this. How about you? I have a dear colleague who she's starting to come around with, kind of thinking long term and getting out of her comfort zone and knowing that she can do more than she thinks she can. She has this block, or she had this block that, you can only do so much and, kind of subjugate and subordinate yourself to other experts in the field instead of becoming an expert. What if you were inspired to become an expert in the field? What if, every week you read 5 books on your type of therapy and you wanted to become an expert, and then you began writing articles and writing books and doing workshops and doing blogs, and next thing you know, you are an expert in the field. That's inspiring to a lot of people. It might not be to you. Maybe your inspiration comes from more community-based things, where maybe you're setting up a nonprofit, using your therapy skills to help other people design compelling futures. Whatever it is, if you're not truly inspired by your work, then there's a real serious disconnect, and it doesn't sound like there's a great future in your mind. And that's troubling. Because if we're not inspired by our work, we're not inspired by our own lives. And when people come to us, it's hard for them to become inspired. Enthusiasm is contagious. And if you aren't enthusiastic about your work, and I know there's times we get tired, naturally tired, and we get difficult clients and all of that. But overall, if we aren't inspired by what we're doing and we don't see a long-term purpose, a long-term vision for creating the life that we want to create, it's hard to inspire clients. It's hard for them to tap into those inner resources for change. So instead of spending our time focusing on our past, focusing just on our present, we also need to be looking into the future, designing our lives the way we want, accessing resources in the future. Because like our clients, we have a lot of limiting beliefs about what we can accomplish, what we can do and be. If we're spending so much time listening to outside voices, we're not listening to that small sometimes too quiet voice inside that's giving us the direction toward inspiration. So the more time we spend listening to that voice and helping our clients learn to find that voice, the more time we can access amazing, positive, potential resources to transform our lives and our clients' lives. So start focusing on the future. Start creating a long-term plan for your client's future. That's their primary mode of being inspired. When you help align their vision with a roadmap on how to get there, amazing things can happen. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you've gotten something out of this. I hope we can start looking toward the future, not just in our work, but in our lives. And it's been a privilege talking with you. And I hope these podcasts are inspiring you to look toward your future. Best wishes. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you for listening to Potential Not Pathology with Dr. Paul J. Leslie. If you enjoyed the show, check out our website at potentialnotpathology.com, where you will find programs and articles showcasing unique and creative therapeutic applications.